Let's just open up with a word of prayer. Let's just pray in tongues for a minute here. Sora masakata le mesheke de be sonora masondro boseke. Ikala baseke le mesheke de be sotro boseke de be sakala masotro boseke. Kala baseke de araba sonro be se kore be se de be se. Ikile be sonre be se ki atle be sat araba sonro boseke de be se ki. Kala basen de be sokro boseke de be se ki atle be sakala masotro boseke. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you for this class. I thank you for everybody that's here. And I thank you for your hand on our life. I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. All that you have done for us, all that you have placed in us and that you've done for us, we did not deserve it. And we are so grateful, Lord Jesus. We love you. I just pray for this class today. I thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your anointing and for the seeds that will be sown on good ground in Jesus' name. Amen. So, why did I do that? Why did we pray? It's not a trick question. Why do we pray? Why do we pray in general? Yes, yeah, amen. Give ourselves to the Lord. Anybody? Ashley?
Put him first.
Huh? Put him first? Yeah, definitely. Anybody else? Why do we pray?
Because we believe.
Because we believe? Yeah. It's a good question, isn't it? Yeah? These are all good answers. These are all good. Valerie? Yeah. Yeah. But yes, absolutely. These are all great answers. But just stop and think about it for a minute, why we pray. What are we doing when we pray?
Communicating.
Communicating. Very good. And we're talking to God, right? Now, I understand there's different kinds of prayers, and you can find them in the New Testament. Supplication, petition, right? Thankfulness, right? These are different kinds of prayers and stuff. But if you all boil it down to, it's talking with God, communicating with God, right? And we have that since Calvary, which is awesome. We can bow our knee, you know, physically or not, but anytime we can talk to God anytime we want to, need to. And let me just give you a little example. Zach, Janzak, stand up. Please. Where's my manners? Okay. All right. Go ahead. You can sit down now. Okay. Now, I asked Zach to stand up, and he did, right? I also asked him to sit down, and he did. But here's something that Zach did not do. He didn't lean over to Ashley and say, "Hey, Ashley, was that Ryan that was just talking to me? Did Ryan just ask me to stand up?" He leans over to Rick. He's like, "Was that Ryan talking to me? Who was that?" No, because Zach, I've known Zach for a little while now, but and we've worked together doing some things around the church here and stuff. He knows my voice, right? He didn't have to question who was asking him to stand up because he knows my voice. When we pray and we talk to God, of course God knows our voice, but we start to learn his voice as well. You want to hear from the Lord and you want to be able to hear from the Lord, you got to spend time with him. You have to talk to him. You have to, right? Jim, when I talk to Jim, right? I mean, if we never talk to each other, how are we going to become friends? Or how do I get to know about him or him know about me if I don't ever spend time with him? So now you're saying, Ryan, I thought we're talking about helps here. We're supposed to be working. Well, before we kind of really get into the lesson, what we say when I do training and things like that at work, we call what we say level set, right? And I want to level set. Make sure, remember, because helps is all about, it really comes down to your heart and your heart condition and understanding why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we working, right? Why are we doing all these things? Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 6. Again, we're still trying to level set here. You know, some of the things we've talked about in one of the other classes. Do you remember we talked about the blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken, right? We talked about that, or bent out of shape. And that was a quote that Dr. Barclay, my father in the faith, my pastor for many years, he would say that all the time. And one of the things, though, that we say blessed are the flexible, as we're talking maybe with helps or in church, but one of the things that we shouldn't be flexible with is on sin, Okay, sin, right? The end result of sin is death. Sin will. There was a preacher that came in, and I think it was Dr. Hicks. I have another quote from him in this outline here, but he used to say, "Sin, it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay." Sin will, you know, you sin on your job, right? You steal from your boss, whatever, something like that. You're going to kill your job, right? The wages of sin is death, and you're going to kill your job, right? You sin against your spouse or whatever, right? You're going to kill your marriage, right? And there's some extreme examples, too, where you can actually lose your life. But sin, the wages of sin is always death. Now, for us, if we're at, did everybody find 2 Corinthians yet?
Yes.
It's in the New Testament. Nothing. I got nothing on that. I'm in here with a bunch of Bible scholars, so I know you guys know where that is. Verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay? You are all able ministers. All able ministers. And what is a minister? We're talking about ministry of helps. What is a minister? Okay? A minister is a servant. And Jesus said, Mark 10:44, right? Jesus says, if you want to be chief among you, right, you must be the servant of all. And Jesus was the ultimate servant. And as a minister of the gospel, you are servants, right? We're not working for a position. Sometimes I hear the term in the church, you know, when we're talking about ministry of helps, we talk about, isn't ministry of helps? That's just the volunteer force in the church, right? And I'll be honest, I don't like the word volunteer when we're talking about in the church, because when you start to get that volunteer mentality, yeah, you start to, some people drift into that, you're no longer teachable, right? You're no longer, I'm just a volunteer. They can't tell me what to do. I don't get paid here, right? So when you start to develop that attitude, you lose that heart. You know, what did we start out with? We talked about prayer. We talked about this realization and communication with God. And it's about that heart condition with Jesus and understanding why we are here and what is the purpose of helps. Why are we working on all these things? Why are we working in the church? Does anybody have an answer to that? We've touched on this before. I asked the question, I've asked this question kind of in a little bit other forms before, but why are we working? Why is there the ministry of helps? To bring people in, to bring the lost. Yeah, right, exactly. So let's get to your worksheet. Number one, the heart of the ministry of helps is take care of the flock, take care of congregation, right? We say flock, okay, I realized as I was reviewing my notes, I was like, we say flock all the time because we always refer to like pastor as a shepherd, right? And so then, of course, we're sheep, and so then a flock of sheep. So we always call it flock. But it's the congregation, right? To take care of the people. And why? And it's part two on this question here. It's a servant's, and you write in, heart. Number two, I must continually blank my heart. Anybody got a guess? Yes, that's right. Guard my heart. And not allow, you might not know this one, but blank to become a blank of bitterness in my life. And this is allow offenses and root of bitterness. These are very important in the ministry of helps. There's going to be times someone might say something, they're going to offend you, hurt your feelings. Either way, right? I mean, we're a family, we're working together in Christ, and we're going to be doing jobs and projects and things like that. Sometimes you wake up, you might be a little bit crabby, or someone doesn't have didn't get enough sleep last night, right? And you might say something a little bit too quick, too rude or mean or something like that. And you get offended by that. So what should we do? We talked about this last week as well. What's the first thing you should do?
Forgive.
Anybody remember what I said, what forgive means?
Drop the charges.
Drop the charges, right? You know, the world will say forgive and forget. That's great if you can do that. But you know what? God designed us with memories. We remember, okay? That's both a blessing and a curse sometimes, right? Because we got to renew our mind. But forgive, drop the charges. I'm not going to charge you, right? You violated me. I should get even with you. I mean, I should have every right because you violated me. I have every right to get even, but I'm not going to. I'm going to drop the charges. Number two, right, if someone offends you, as the Bible says, it says, go to your brother. If your brother offends you, go to them. Right? Most of the time, I would say, probably this room here, most of the time people are going to say, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I didn't know, I didn't mean to offend you. Right? It was an accident. And so then, okay, then number three, just let it go. Right? Don't talk about it. Don't gossip about it. Just let it go. Turn over to Ephesians 4:23. All right, so now we've level set. So turn over to Ephesians 4, verse 23. We're starting to build and get into the spirit of cooperation. You're probably wondering where I'm going with this. I'll bring it together, I promise. Chapter 4, verse 23. And, it says, and, let me back it up. Because I, you know what, the rest of this, the couple of verses before this. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And now verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're going to come back to that. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now in my Bible, that's a lowercase s. So we're not talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, we're also not talking about some spirits, right? Demonic, right? Or some other kind of spirits here. We're talking about the spirit of your mind. What is that? Well, that's your attitude. Yeah, that's your attitude. Be renewed in your attitude. Okay? Be renewed in your mind. We need to do this, especially as we're working in this ministry of helps. And now it says, put off the old man, put in the new man. And then I have a quote from Dr. Roy Hicks, who is Dr. Barclay's father, one of his fathers in the faith. He used to come to our church very regularly until he passed away. A great man of God. Yeah, he came in, and so he had a poem that he wrote. And he said, there are two natures within my chest. Okay? The one is cursed, the one is blessed. Okay? The one I love and the one I hate, but the one that I feed will dominate. And so we are always going to be dealing with our old man, always, until we take our last breath, okay? One of the scriptures here, actually, I think that we will refer, I'll refer to later, but I probably won't turn to it, but it talks about us being in the unity of the faith, right? And when it talks to us getting into the unity of faith, you know, until we go to heaven, okay, there's going to be things that we're going to be working on in our life. Until we take our last breath, there's going to be things that we're working on. There is nobody perfect, and there's always things that the Lord will be working on us. We're always going to have thoughts, or we're going to do something, or something that we got to deal with. But that old man is always there. So we have to purpose to put on the new man, renew our mind, the spirit of our mind, our attitude, right? If we're going to work in the ministry of helps. Number three on your worksheet, it is necessary to operate in blank, so unity, and in agreement with the blank, the vision of the church. Okay, we're all here. Pastor is ordained to be, he's the pastor. He is the leader of this church. He has the vision of God for this church, right? This is not our church. We are not pastors. I am not the pastor of this church. We are helpers, and I help him do a lot of things for the church, and I help him in some, like, what we would say, pastoral areas, right? But he's the pastor. He's the one that has the accountability for this church, and he has the vision. So if we're going to work in the ministry of helps, we got to be in agreement with that vision. And this is what I'm talking about, being in unity. Now, does being in unity mean that we always agree with everything that goes on? No, it doesn't. I can be in unity with you, but I don't have to necessarily agree, right? It's kind of like that saying where, you know, you love everybody, right? But you don't necessarily always like everybody. But we have to go back to what I said right in the beginning. We have to work. We are working toward a common goal, right? Anything that we do in the church, ministry of helps, keep that in front of you. Renew your mind. Renew your attitude, your mind. Don't lose sight of why we are really here. When something doesn't go quite right, or pastor has us do something right, doesn't that we don't understand? Okay, take it back to, why are we doing this? You have to trust, too. We have to trust that he's hearing from the Lord for this church, okay, and for us. Amen? Yes. All right. So I refer to Psalms 133. I won't turn there for the sake of time, but it talks about having a spirit, again, a spirit of unity, right? So lowercase s, but it's again, it's this attitude. Where did I leave off on the worksheet? Yeah, here, number four. Being in unity means we always agree on everything. Is that true or false? False, yeah. Number five, we need, blank, we need each other to share the burden and to help each other. And I have a couple verses on that. Number six, pastor is the shepherd feeder, helps are the shepherd tenders. Now I do want to turn to this one, Acts 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Is this good?
Yes.
Is this too much? Am I going too fast? It's interesting how quickly the time goes. I'm like, everybody there? All right. I'm going to read a few of these this scripture here. Starting in verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring or a complaining of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Interesting ministration again, right? We talked about that. What was ministers? It's a servant, right? Because, you know, I'm ministering to you right now. I'm the one up here standing, walking around. I'm ministering to you. You're sitting, resting, getting the information, right? I'm serving you. I'm serving you. Okay? So I'm your servant. So this is part of the ministration they're talking about here was this food distribution. Verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, or it's not good, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, let me just pause here for a minute. It's not that they couldn't. They could. And I'm going to explain why they said this, why it wasn't good for them to do that. But they could. They very well could. You know, our pastor here is talented in many areas. He could do probably almost anything here in the church. But it's not good. It's not good for him to do that. Let's go on. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men. So pick seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who's we? The disciples, right, the apostles, who we may appoint over this business. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry. Again, there's that word again, of the word. And here's a great verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. When does that ever happen? You get two of you in a room, and we're going to disagree on something. Right? And they chose the different men. Let's skip down to verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. So when they got this thing in biblical order, I talked about, right, they said it's not good for us to leave word and prayer. And it's not because they're better than them or whatever, but they had different assignments from God. So it was not good. If they were, let's say they did. Let's say they did leave word and prayer to go serve the tables. We might be reading a different story here, and I'm convinced that the word of God would not have increased and the disciples would not have been multiplied. Because now you have people out of position. Okay? It's out of what their, you know, what their function is to do, right? We need each other. We need every one of you, we need you to come here to church and work and helps and be anointed, and we need you in your function. Okay? We need that. We all need that together. When one suffers, right, the whole body suffers, right? I use the example of my little toe, right? When I stubbed it on the couch. Yeah, right? My little toe, it suffered. My whole body suffered, right? So, where'd we leave off on the worksheet?
Number 7.
Yes, that's exactly what I was just saying. It is not only important to be anointed, but we must stay anointed. True or false? True, yeah, that's true. Do you know you can frustrate the grace? Do you know you can lose your anointing? Do you know King Saul was anointed to be king? And it says when he died as someone who had never been anointed. Never been anointed. Think about that for a minute. So do you think it's right for us to just come in here and work in the ministry of help? I'm not yelling at you. I hope it doesn't sound like that. I love the ministry of helps. I love it because when you get that realization that this is your ministry, right, and that you are working in your function, again, not pulling, you know, when we operate in each of our gifting and anointings, it makes the body of Christ, right, there's so much power in that. And why? What happens when we're all working together in unity? What did this say here? Right? Yeah, the church grows. And what happens when the church grows?
More souls are saved.
More souls are saved, yep. More people get helped, right? That's what we're doing. Everything we're doing comes back to this looking at people, helping people, getting people delivered. Because you know what? As the church grows, as this church grows, I got to watch my time. As the church grows, right, and you get more people in, what happens? You get more problems. Right? And you need more helpers. So all the more reason why we need to be anointed in our role and come anointed. Come here, you know, be prayed up. Come here and pray when you're here. You know, we started this out with prayer because we need the anointing on our lives. I need the anointing on my life. All right? I need the anointing every day for everything that I do. So I have a couple examples. I will just kind of refer to them and just kind of talk to them about it. They're in your outline, so go back and read them. But I had a couple examples of some different people in the Bible who are operating. You know, let's bring it all back. What was my title, right? Was today? I've been talking a lot about being anointed and that kind of thing, but it all comes back to the spirit of cooperation and teamwork. When we're working together, for a common goal, and for which our common goal, which we know we've established, I've kind of hammered that a lot today. But I was thinking about, so one of the examples I had are the four rope bearers for Paul. Do you remember after Saul was converted on the road to Damascus, right? And then he got plugged in, he's preaching, and he's starting to make some of the Jews in that area very mad. And they're going to come kill him. So what does he do? Right? There's these four guys that lower him down in a basket. And they lower him down. And then he escapes and continues on in his ministry. But you think about these four guys. Do you think they were cooperating together to lower him down in a basket? Yes, they had to. Because if you got four guys holding a basket, right, it's balanced. And if one guy says, you know what, I don't understand why we're doing this, right? I don't even like Paul. Right? And he just lets go. What happens to that basket, right? Maybe you can adjust with three. But what if two guys, right? They got to be cooperating. Now, the other thing interesting about this story, too, is that I think about what happened to these guys. Okay, there was people coming after Paul. Paul leaves. And these four guys, they're left. They're left to face these. We don't know what happened. But I think about that. So they had to have to be in unity and cooperation. Another one that I want to refer to is Jonathan and his armor bearer. You'll hear that term a lot of times in the ministry of helps talk about armor bearer, right? So this armor bearer, this is a guy, he follows Jonathan around, and he just literally holds his armor, right, and his weapons. So when it's time for battle, here you go. Here's your shield. Here's your breastplate. Here's your sword. And Jonathan says, this is one of the coolest stories in the Bible, I think, because Jonathan says to his armor bearer, he says, let's go up there and this is my paraphrase, Ryan's paraphrase. Let's go make some trouble with the Philistines. And this is my favorite line of the whole thing. He says to his armor, he's like, it may be that the Lord will be with us. And so I'm like, if I'm the armor bearer, I'm thinking, can we be a little bit more certain than may be with us? But no, he doesn't say that, because I love the armor bearer because he has this true servant's heart. He says to him, and that's the scripture I have referenced on here. He has kind of an attitude. He's like, hey, do whatever's in your heart. Like, basically, why are you even asking? I'm always here with you. Just do whatever's in your heart, and I'll be with you. That's a servant's heart. 2 Kings 2,
Elijah and Elisha. Elisha served Elijah for a long time. And I don't know if he ever knew from day one that he was going to eventually take over Elijah's ministry. I think he probably didn't. I think he was just thinking he was going to be helping him forever, right? But he was he had a servant's heart. Now, Elisha also had a servant too, if you remember. He had a guy named Gehazi. And this guy seemed to be well. I mean, he could have been the next. We could have been reading about Elijah, Elisha, and Gehazi. But if you remember the story of Gehazi, he ended up doing not so well because he had his own agenda on it. The last example I want to give, there's many more, but I pulled out a few here. Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, verse 1. They were ministering, and they end up getting into a disagreement. We talked about this just a minute ago, right? Do we always agree? No, we don't always agree on things. But we're working toward a common goal. And this is a true example to me of this right here, because they said they had, and in the Bible it says no small dispute. I love the way that the Bible words things like that, right? We would say it's a big dispute, right? But they say it was no small dispute. And these guys didn't fight and split and gossip about each other, right, and split the church or whatever. No, they said, hey, we need to go to the leaders. We go back to the apostles. Let's go back to Jerusalem. And on their way back to Jerusalem, the Bible says that they spread love and joy. Really? But they're in disagreement. That's my timer. I got to stay on time. They spread love and joy the whole way back. To me, that's an awesome story. That's a true heart of working together, working through some of the offenses. So go back and read that. So all right, I'm going to wrap up here. Again, what are we talking about? Spirit of teamwork and cooperation. It's not always easy to cooperate. Okay, we're people. We have different opinions, different backgrounds, different things that we've done. What do you do, though, in a situation that, what if you don't like the project that we're working on? What are you going to do? What if you don't like the people that you're working with on the project? What do you do if you don't like who's in charge of the project? Right? What are you going to do? What do you do? Here's a big one. What do you do if you think you can do it better? Yep. I'm hearing some groans here. I think you're following where I'm going on this. So, are we going to be humble? And we're going to be a humble servant, right? And sometimes, let me just, one thing that in that, what we read in Acts 6, where he said, you know, it's not good for us to leave word and prayer. Two things that happened here. It allowed the apostles to stay in their function, in their ministry, which was the word of God and prayer, so that they can bring the word to the people and to serve the people. But it also allowed the helpers to be functioning in their ministry, right? If the apostles did all the work, then this is the true heart. This is true heart of ministry of helps is it is our ministry. It is our ministry to work and to serve and to help the people. Okay? All right. That's it for today. And remember, next week is Easter, so we won't be meeting next week. And the following week, we'll be talking about excellence and helps. So, did I get all the questions on here for you?
No.
Okay. The rope bearers risk their lives. Yep, number 8. The rope bearers risk their lives and hard work together to get Paul to safety so he could continue in his ministry. Number 9, Jonathan's armor bearer said to his leader, "Do all that is in your heart, for I am with you." Number 10, Elisha faithfully served or ministered unto Elijah for over 20 years. And number 11, Paul and Barnabas had a large disagreement. However, they stayed in unity and continued to spread the gospel. All right? I call you blessed. You're dismissed. We'll see you in church service.